All right, on this episode of Bouks Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to fight at BYB 19 in a very prominent fight that goes down on August the 10th, and a very highly anticipated super middleweight title unification fight as Jose Fernandez steps into the mighty Trigon against Sam Liera. And great getting to have Sam on the show today. How's your day going there, man?
It's going good so far.
And I'm just wondering how you're feeling heading into this fight in general, because obviously it's one that's been on the radar for quite a while now. I imagine a highly anticipated one and everything like that. So how does it feel for this fight to finally be locked in and getting that chance to be the unified champion in this weight division?
You know, honestly, I'm really excited. I'm a little nervous as usual, you know, and I know Jose's going to bring everything at me, because I know he's coming back from, like, a long time from surgery. So I'm a little nervous, and, I mean, but at the same time, I'm there to have, so it don't matter.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a fight that's been on the radar for a bit. I mean, you guys were even supposed to fight at BYB 11 circa August of last year and everything like that. Is it sort of a hard fight to prepare for in a certain sense? Because, like, you're talking about him kind of coming back and readying to return here. Like, what do you think he's going to bring to the table? Is it almost like a brand new version of his skills as a fighter? Because, I mean, you've been more active since, you know, he's been and everything like that, since you guys were lined up there for that fight I mentioned.
Yeah, no. I honestly watched some of his fights, and it seemed like, he's a pretty tough guy, and I don't know if he's gonna fight the same. He might fight different. So honestly, I don't even know what to expect, because he hasn't fought in a while. So he might fight maybe a little the same, or he might fight totally different. So I'm just preparing for anything. I don't know what to expect, but we'll see like the first minute or so.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, a very, you know, compelling fight in a lot of different regards, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on the last one. I mean, I was afforded the opportunity to speak to you after the fight, which I appreciated, but it seems like that was a fight that really resonated with a lot of people. Like, a lot of people were calling it like the best, you know, bare knuckle fight of the year and like one of the all-time, you know, great bare knuckle fights. So like, what were the thoughts on, you know, that effort that ultimately garnered you that interim super middleweight title and beating someone very well regarded like Laurent T. Nelson?
Well, yeah, for me, that fight was fun. It was just tough fighting, fighting kind of blind, you know. But it was a tough fight towards the end. And Lauren is—he's a really tough guy. He's a good fighter, you know. I have a lot of respect for him. But I'm glad, you know, that we got that we put on a good show. That's all I really care about. And just, you know, just going there having fun, whatever the outcome is. I mean, you know, LT was, you know, he's a nice guy. I respect him a lot. And what's called, that we got, that Friday night, it was great.
Yeah, an incredible fight, and he obviously a great fighter in his own right, had, you know, great successes, and has had great successes for sure, and some great stuff going on with, like, the BYB versus, you know, BKB nowadays and stuff like that. Like, obviously not overlooking this fight as, you know, this is a huge one. Is that some action you could see yourself getting in on in the future, though, like maybe setting up a fight with one of the more well-regarded BKB guys as like something down the line?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that would be great. I would really enjoy that. But like, to me, it's whatever BYB tells me to do. You know, I never say no to anybody. Whoever they put in front of me, like, okay, that's fine. I'll never say no to any fighter. Whoever it is, BKB or BYB, you know, it's whatever BYB wants. I'll be all right. That's fine. Just say yes to it. It don't matter.
Yeah, and obviously focused on this next task, and I referenced how we got to talk after the last victory, and you did seem proud of getting to hold that interim belt, but you were saying you'll feel even happier when you get to, you know, beat the actual champion here. Have you kind of allowed yourself to imagine what that might feel like, just getting yourself established as the lineal unified champion of the division? I mean, it seems like that's something you've mulled over a little bit, but just curious.
Yeah, honestly, I haven't thought about it much. The only thing, I don't consider myself an interim champion or whatever champion it is. I'm not I don't consider myself a champion until I actually beat the actual champion. And Jose is the actual champion. And me, I don't know. It would be great, you know, to hold it, to be the actual champion of BYB. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. But right now, I don't consider no interim champ. There's only one. This is a champion, and Jose's a champion. And I have to beat him to be crowned the champion.
Yeah, and it seems like there's a very, like, respectful back-and-forth dynamic you guys have and everything like that. So, like, in terms of what you've seen him do well in the Trigon, like, in terms of stylistic attributes, like, X's and O's-wise, what would you say he, you know, really does well when he's competing in the mighty Trigon?
Well, he's really composed. Like, he's calm. He doesn't go crazy. You know, like, and to me, like, for every fighter, I respect every fighter who steps in there. It doesn't matter who it is. But, like, yeah, Jose is really tough, and like, me, I just gotta be cautious. But the good thing about him, I'm like, I mean, he's patient, so it's not gonna be like a crazy brawl, which I don't think it's gonna be a crazy brawl. But if it does turn into that, then I'm ready for it. But I don't think it's gonna be like that. But, you know, never know. We'll see what Jose brings.
So are you maybe expecting it to be like a bit more of a calculated fight, like maybe one that is more measured and maybe goes the distance, or at the very least into the later rounds, I guess?
Yeah, I'm more to be more calculated fight. I don't think he's gonna go like a brawl crazy. He tries to be more technical, and that's what I've seen from the other two fights. He was more calm, and I try to be more technical. Everybody just like I think the other guy just rushed him, but I mean, like I said, he's been out for a while, so I don't know how he's gonna fight. I don't know how he's gonna react. Like, I mean, I don't know if he's gonna go the distance, but I mean, all I know is gonna be a great show, and you know, people, they're gonna have a great show to watch.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, such a fascinating fight in a lot of different regards. One I'm very much looking forward to, but curious to, you know, I guess get some insights into some of the recent work you were able to get in. Like, I saw you with, you know, Curtis Millender a little bit ago per an Instagram picture, but it seems like Tony Peaches is someone you like to get in the work with, and Mario Angelito. Can you kind of talk about some of the key people in this recent camp here?
Yeah, I go to the Box Street Center in Costa Mesa. That's Mario's gym, and he's a boxing coach, and Soto Caraz. So they go there and coach us and help us a little bit. And the most of the time, just boxing, is Tony Peaches. Like, we spar, was it 2 times a week, sometimes 3. And he's the one, like, always gives me work. He always pushes me really hard. And then, like, that's why I just go boxing. But then I go do, like clinch work and wrestling and MMA and at the Den Center at Ben Jones' gym. And I spar a lot with Curtis. But I really enjoy sparring with Curtis, honestly, because we just start trash back to each other. So it's kind of fun. It makes it really fun because, like, we spar, and we just start trash to each other the whole time. And, I mean, and we just try to get into each other's head. So that makes it more, exciting, and we have to be, like, more technical with each other, you know?
That's kind of interesting, I guess. You saying that just kind of made me think of this. Have you had opponents throughout your combat sports efforts that were kind of, you know, active trash talkers when you were competing? Like, is that something that you're, like, trying to replicate in a certain sense almost, or, like, work it to anticipate it happening? Because you obviously had a lot of MMA experience before even getting into bare knuckle. So has there been past opponents that have been, like, pretty heavy in that, you know, banter, as it were?
There was probably like 3 MMA that they trash talk, and then we're fighting and we're talking trash, but then I once they're getting beat up, they start talking trash. But I tell them, you know, keep the same energy. If you're gonna talk trash, you better keep talking trash the whole time. And that's another workout in itself, you know. So like, my thing, I just do it because it's more for fun. Like, it's sparring. I don't do it in fighting unless people talk trash to me. But like it's sparring, I just do it with Curtis, and it makes it more fun and more technical, and we don't go out crazy. But like, what's it called? To me, it makes it more fun, and I don't think about the sparring thing. I don't know how to explain it. I really enjoy it, and especially sparring with Curtis, us talking trash to each other, it makes it more fun in practice. But like, in BYB, there's only one person I talked trash to. That was it, and that was Jet. Me and him were talking trash. Well, he started talking trash, but then he stopped talking trash after the first round.
And was that just a byproduct of him kind of wearing some of the shots and he wasn't liking it as much? Like, what kind of led to the trash talk kind of subsiding, you think?
Well, I mean, we're fighting. He kept calling me a bitch the whole time. I'm like, okay, so, you know, I'm just wait till we get in the ring, whatever. I don't like talking trash at weigh-ins or before. I don't like that. But, like, in the ring, if you're going to talk trash, okay, that makes it more fun because we're in there fighting, like, actually fighting, you know? So I think, he didn't like the punches, like, because he was getting hit a lot. And, I mean, I was getting hit, too, but I enjoyed it. I mean, I don't really care. But I don't think he enjoyed it as much. And I just kept talking trash the whole time. And I told him, like, hey, dude, if you're going to talk trash, you better talk trash the whole time. If not, don't say anything at all. So enjoyed it, and I'm sure he enjoyed it. It's still fun afterwards. It doesn't matter. You know, we still have respect for each other.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's good to hear for sure. And I mean, you know, talking about some of the previous experience you've had, like having fought in, you know, cages and mixed martial arts, it seems like you've really taken a liking to the Mighty Trigon. At least the rate of success you've had would indicate that you have a good relationship with it. But like, can you talk about some of the, you know, machinations of competing in there, like maybe some of the different considerations, or maybe how that lends itself to your fight style, stuff in that kind of vein?
Well, like in the Trigon, it's really small, so it's like I mean, you can't really move as much, and you can't really like try to take him down or clinch him as much as you can do a rest. You can clinch a little bit in the Trigon, but like not as much as I'm used to, like for fighting MMA. It's a big difference, you know. Sometimes if you want to rest a little bit, you got to take him down and maybe ground and pound. But like boxing, you just constantly getting hit over and over and over. You got to be very cautious. That's the thing. There's a big difference, you know.
Yeah, and I'm curious about just like the learning curve through a bare knuckle too, because I was seeing a previous interview you had where you were talking about how for like 2 or 3 days after the first bare knuckle fight, you couldn't drive or, you know, like properly grip glasses, like they would fall out of your hand and things like that. Like, have you had a learning curve in that sense, like subverting some of the damage to the hands across the fights, or just even in a broader sense, like has there been anything you've learned across all these bare knuckle fights from your first fight to where you're at now?
Well, like, when I learned about knuckle, like, really, I mean, my hands are going to be messed up either way, and there's nothing that really I can do. The first time I fought for BYB, when I fought Leo Pla, like, I think he, like, he would block his, like, my punches with his head a lot, so he would put his head down a lot. That's when my hands got more, like, they got worse. And then, like, other guys, they don't really block with their head as much, but Leo just, because even he told me afterwards, he goes, dude, I was hoping you going to break your hand in my head. He goes, that's his goal. When he fights, he puts his head, when you try to punch him, he puts his head down, so you hit, but like, punch him on top of the head. Because I remember I hit him one time hard with a hook. He put his head down, and I felt a shock all the way to my elbow and my shoulder, and I couldn't make a fist for like 30 seconds. And I never had that in MMA. Bare knuckles way different, you know, but you must have been a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, that is fair. Also, I mean, fighting someone who seems to be like a fair bit bigger. I mean, you obviously fought in that weight division throughout some of your other, you know, BYB fights and stuff like that. But I mean, Leo has, you know, since fought in like higher weight categories too, and, you know, stuff like that. So definitely, you know, kind of an interesting one. And I mean, having fought in that debut effort at BYB 5, it seems like there's been a lot of growth since then. And having been with the company for a bit over 2 years now, can you speak to, I guess, some of the growth you've seen in the company as you've also grown in your career as a fighter?
Well, the company's getting a lot bigger, and I can see, like, there's a lot more people that I'm working with through BYB. Before, it was just, like, maybe one or two, and I was, like, variety of and sometimes I forget their names, but what's it called? And there's more promoting, which is good, you know, like, but the good thing about BYB, they're always on top of everything, you know, and I really appreciate that. They always have everything, like, prepared for us. They take care of us really good, so, because they grew a lot more, so they're taking care of us a lot better because we stuck with them and we choose to like keep fighting for them. And you know, they really take care of us, so I really appreciate that from BYB, Mike and everybody, Mel, all those guys from BYB. I really appreciate everything they've done for us. And they grow and they take care of us, you know, for staying with them and like being loyal.
Yeah, and that's a pretty common thread I hear from a lot of, you know, BYB extreme combatants. Like, they really seem to speak highly of how the company treats them, so love to hear that that's also a thing you're experiencing. But I'd be very curious to get some of your insights on this, because you're a Strikeforce veteran, and I was alluding to the MMA experience before. I was noticing that you got to fight on a very unique card back in the day, that Strikeforce Playboy Mansion event, and, I mean, wasn't necessarily your, you know, desired outcome in the fight itself with Luke Stewart, but curious to get the thoughts on just the entirety of the experience, because, I mean, pretty unique to say that you got to fight at the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah, no, the Playboy Mansion, it was fun. It was a little bit weird. There was, like, so much guys there, you know? There's going to be some... It was a bunch of dudes. I think I only saw two women there. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, it wasn't the experience that I thought I would see, you know? I'm like, it was great being there. I'm like, oh, I got to play the Playboy Mansion, you know? It was great. I met a lot of great people. Bob Sapp, the nicest guy I've ever met in my life. Like, scared me, but he was really the nicest guy I've ever met. Really nice and polite. But, yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. And then I'm like, man, and I tell him, but I think So it was like, that was really awkward one. I'm like, it was great to finally play one match, but I'm like, man, it wasn't the experience that I thought I would, like, you know, I would see. I'm like, I tell my friend, literally there was only two women to like freaking like 100 or 200 men there. I'm like, that was weird.
Yeah, I guess like the classic like imagination thing that a lot of people would have hearing that is like it's just gonna be bunnies everywhere, but that wasn't your experience.
No, it was maybe guy bunnies, maybe, I don't know, but that's all it was. It was fun. I really enjoyed fighting though. I mean, yeah, either way, it was still fun, you know. But it would have been more fun, but it was still fun.
I was going to say, did you get to, like, meet Hugh Hefner or anything of that nature, or mostly just, like, a normative fight kind of, you know, preparation in the sense of, like, getting out there, doing it, medicals thereafter, etc.?
No, I didn't get to see him, but they told me he was there only for, like, a little bit of fights, then he went back inside. But, like, yeah, they said he was only there for, like, maybe, like, 30, 45 minutes or so. I don't know how long he was there, or maybe he watched all the fights, but I didn't get to see him. We're in the back, but yeah, it was mostly like fighters and like a lot of people. There might have been celebrities, and I have no idea. I didn't really pay attention. Like, I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough, man. And I guess one of the last things I wanted to touch on here while I've got you, because both of you have, you know, the undefeated records and your resumes both speak for themselves. I mean, you being 5-0 with the three finishes there, and I mean, him being 3-0 with the 100% finishing rate amongst the guys he's fought so far in his run. I mean, is it safe to say that this fight is one that ends inside the distance? Do you have a certain, like, predominant visualization for how you, you know, see this fight going and everything? Like, what are your thoughts on all that?
Honestly, this one, if he fought the way he used to fight, maybe, because, I don't think it's going to go past the fifth round, in my opinion. Honestly, even if it's a technical fight, I don't think it's going to go past the fifth round. If it does, I'd be honestly surprised. But I think it's not going to go past the fifth round.
Yeah, I mean, a very interesting fight for sure. So many fascinating parts of it. And I really appreciate you coming on and giving great insights ahead of it. Definitely one I'm very excited to, you know, check out, man. But like I was kind of saying earlier, definitely want to be considerate of your time and schedule too. So is there maybe like any final parting thought you'd want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, Sam?
No, I mean, expect a great fight. You know, me and Jose are going to put on a show. Whatever the outcome is, you know, we're there to have fun. And, you know, it's going to be a great fight. And, you know, we'll see what happens. And we'll see you guys on August 10th, BYB.
Yeah, BYB 19 is going to be a great one, and I'm actually going to be there, so very much looking forward to finally taking in some BYB Extreme action in person, and should be a great super middleweight title unification. Definitely been looking forward to this Jose Fernandez fight for a while, and again, to reiterate, thanks for making time and coming on the show, man. You have a great rest of your day, and yeah, I appreciate you coming on again. Thank you.
No worries, and hopefully I'll see you after the show.
All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set for quite the fight at BYB 19, which goes down on August the 10th. It's a super middleweight title unification fight as Sam Liera steps into the mighty Trigon to take on Jose Fernandez, and great getting to have Jose on the show. How's your day going there, man?
My day's going great. Thanks for asking. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a very exciting moment for sure, just a fight that's been on the radar for quite a while. I mean, there was talks of you fighting Sam Liera even around BYB 11 circa August of last year. So how does it feel to have this fight finally, you know, taking place and finally, you know, coming to fruition and all?
Oh man, I've been dying for this moment. Sam's a great fighter. I want to personally be the best, so it's been a long time coming, and I'm very excited to get this fight on.
Yeah, and I saw you had the post a while ago where you were talking about wanting to issue an official apology for not being able to take that, you know, aforementioned August fight that I had alluded to there, and you had an issue with your shoulder muscle, you had a tear there, and there was obviously some subsequent rehab. Like, how did the entirety of that timeline look like as far as, like, when you sustained the injury and just, like, how you came to get yourself back to a recovered state there?
Okay, so I pretty much, I had my shoulder, basically, the left shoulder was reconstructed. I pretty much, I don't know if it was during the J.D. Burns fight or just all the wear and tear, because I've pretty much always been I was always training and, you know, staying active. So I tore basically almost three of the four rotator cuff muscles. So they went in there and cleaned them up, reattached everything. And the process, thank God, South Florida Orthopedics, Dr. Gumbosh did a great job. Michael Gumbosh, thank you. It was about 6 months. The recovery was a little bit painful. The therapy done by Homestead Physical Therapy was, they have a great team over there. Like I said, the process was painful. It was kind of bad. I had a little complication during the surgery because I was allergic to something. During the surgery, I think it was the pain med. So it was a little tough, but, you know, I got through it, and my shoulder now is basically like a new shoulder. So it feels great. And I'm very grateful for the team I had around me of people that helped you put that together for me.
Yeah, it seems like you're right back in the swing of things there. Like, I saw you were at, like, a car show at Miami Marine Stadium a little bit ago, just getting some of the hype going for BYB19. Like, how does it feel to kind of be back in the fold after what you went through with the injury and everything?
Oh, man, it feels great. It's a dream come true, you know, given the fact that I've started, at least glove boxing, I started doing probably when I was about 14, 15 years old, so it's been a dream come true, and just to be able to get back in the swing of things like this, it reinvigorates, it sparks that flame any true fighter has that knows it's so much more than just fighting sometimes. And, you know, what you were talking about in the Miami Marine Stadium, the meet and greet event we did, it's fun to be able to meet people and see their reactions to everything I'm doing and all the support I get. It's just, it ignites that fire in you, you know, when you know there's so many more aspects than just fighting, then that's a very important one. The smart ones, they use that as fuel, and you know, it brings you back to life. At least it does for me.
Yeah, and you've had an incredible run so far. Like, I thought it was pretty wild that your first ever pro fight was actually your BYB debut, just like the first professional effort in any combat sport. And I understand you had an amateur glove boxing background before. Like, how did you come to, you know, fight for BYB Extreme? I think it was Rene Rodriguez that got you in the fold. Is that correct?
Yes. Rene was a good friend of mine. That's how I got my foot in the door with them. I knew mutual people also that were in the backyard fighting back in the day before. And I had my amateur career as a glove amateur fighter. That was about, I want to say, 15 fights. I won Golden Gloves in 2006. But I stumbled across, I have put the sport down for such a long time ago, and I had probably in between, right before 2020, my debut, I was inactive for, I want to say, about almost 7 years. And when I did, it was an amateur bout. It wasn't anything like the pros. And anybody who's been in the sport knows it's different, let alone bare knuckle. But, you know, in my personal life, things got, you know, to a low point that bare knuckle, you know, seemed like it was a great idea for me. And given the fact that I had done my homework, I think I had seen Forbes put out an article on how fast the sport is rising. I tried to get into glove fighting, but I found it much easier to get in. And with the BYB, Dada, Mike, everybody really welcomed me and opened the doors for me, especially given the fact that I knew, you know, a couple of people that have fought in the backyard before. George Rodriguez was another one that fought. Joey Diaz, Rene Rodriguez, I knew. So, yeah, I was always around that mix. And it's been wild. It really has turned into something that, before I was doing it for kind of different purposes. I wanted to launch my career. But where it's going and where it's already been, it's been, you know, like I said prior, it's a dream come true. So it's awesome. I love it. It's all of my life now is this.
Yeah, and just a lot of interesting growth for sure, because I was seeing a previous interview you did where you were talking about how you would, like, hear from some people, like, the virtues of, like, punching the sand and, you know, grabbing your fingers and, you know, the monks doing it. And initially you were kind of like, I don't really know about this. But then, you know, with time and kind of even supplementing it with your own research, you came to add those aspects to your game. How much have you, I guess, added even since the last time we saw you? Because it's been a little bit since you last got out to compete. Like, have you added any, like, additional tricks to your preparation? Has, like, the bare-knuckle-specific fight IQ been refined in any particular kind of way?
Oh yeah, especially that the sport is so new. You know, it's definitely not boxing. Just like the BYB calls it, this is a brawl. It's so much different than just regular boxing. There's so many new tricks, just with the clinch grappling, you know, the defense, the how small with no glove, the defense really, you know, people think it's the same thing. And a lot of these gloved boxing coaches down here, some of them are, I think, in my opinion, having a hard time wrapping their head around the fact that there's no gloves. So there's defensive moves that just can't be done because just simply the size of the fist and how it can just, you know, slip through and get into areas that a regular glove, even a UFC glove, let's say, can't get into just because of the sheer size. And the fact that just one punch can change the entire outcome of a fight. You know, there's so many times I've seen a fight where I have one person picked and that person does completely the opposite. You know, the results were something shocking. It's like you can't really, hard to really put a number on who's going to win in this sport. But it's great. You know, these techniques, and it's learning something new every day. For me, it has to be definitely something that I've been really strengthening is my clinch game. The clinch, the dirty boxing, as we like to call it, is something that I feel like a lot of regular glove fighters have a hard time reacting to. It's much more different. You know, I would compare it more to like a Thai film for Muay Thai. And, you know, some of those guys come a little more prepared because they're given the style of the sport. So it's something that's constantly turning for me, and it's something that I'm constantly trying to learn and look up different things, just like the fist strengthening also. That one has been a real, real success. I feel like that's really been helping out my hands a lot. And I see other people in the sport using it, so that's great. There's all sorts of different techniques.
Yeah, and a good point about the, you know, defensive considerations in bare knuckle. I've talked to a few fighters about that and just how much importance is placed on just like lateral movement and the footwork in general, but it would seem like especially difficult in the confines of something like the Trigon. And I understand that you kind of look at that space as something that has like the pretty compact corners and tight angles and can kind of make for some interesting instances in the fight. So it's almost like an additional, you know, factor into the preparations as well, just being in something like the Trigon as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The Trigon's it's a very, I mean, for me, it's home. Trigon's my home. But it's a very unique ring. Those corners, man, they're not 90 degrees is the best way I could try to explain it. That's what I try to keep in my head, is stay out of those corners. If you get in those corners, you got to have a plan to get out. Because and the Trigon has, it is the smallest combat sports ring. There is, in my opinion, there's just enough room to use in there if you know how to use it to your advantage, but it does make a huge difference, you know. And going back to people not adjusting, let alone in that ring, it's a big game changer for certain guys.
Yeah, and I mean, you have a demonstrable track record of doing well in that space, especially in the last fight there, and I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on the title winning effort against JD Burns and securing that fourth round stoppage victory at BYB 9. Like, what were the main takeaways from that moment? I imagine cementing yourself as a champion in this sport would have marked a big night for you.
Yeah, for me it was a huge night, just given everything I've been through in my personal life. Also the fact that for me it's history for the BYB, because I'm the first one, which to me was, it meant something special to me, and I want to try to hold on to it as long as I can and beat the best in the division, maybe scroll around the other divisions and get other titles. But that night was a very special night. I mean, whoever was in front of me, because JD Burns is tough as nails, good friend of mine now. Man, that night, it didn't matter who was in front of me. I was going to win that, because that's something special, and that's what every fighter, you know, steps in the ring and looks forward to, are those special moments, those moments in time that are just solidified, you know. It's just from everything, from the way that, you know, my friends and my family would treat me. It's been surreal. So that those moments mean everything to me. It's so much more than just a paycheck.
Yeah, and I mean, you were talking about, like, wanting to really test yourself against the best and fight some of the best available. Like, how much does your upcoming opponent fit within that? Because Sam Liera, obviously the interim champion, undefeated in the sport, just like you, and it seemed like you enjoyed his interim title winning effort, just found it to be an entertaining fight when he got in there with Laurent T. Nelson. Like, what are your thoughts on Sam Liera's, I guess, resume overall, but also some of the X's and O's of what you think he does well when fighting in the mighty Trigon?
And I've got, to be honest with you, I've got the utmost respect for Sam. He's a very talented, tough, durable fighter. His resume has been impressive. He's taken out, you know, some good guys that have had some history in the BYB. He took out Leo Fa. You know, his last one with Laurent T. Nelson was, man, that was such a good fight to watch. I mean, I'm not one of these guys that doesn't give. I give credit where credit's due, and Sam deserves all the credit in the world because he really has earned the interim title, and he's beat the best. You know, Laurent apparently is a great fighter on record. He's fought, you know, in his places around the world. He has a good record. And that last fight, like, he showed something that very few people have the ability to even find within themselves, which is to get back up the way he did and pull that off. You know, it would have been nice to see. Unfortunately, the commission in that state, I think it was South Carolina that happened, didn't let that fight go seven rounds like the traditional championships are for us. It would be a nice thing to see that fight go two more rounds because, man, that was action-packed. Those are the fights that people remember and make history in the company. So, you know, I tip my hat off to him, and that's why it also means a lot to be able to go in there and be with the best and beat the best.
And I'm curious because I'm referencing an article from Millions where it was talking about how you make sure you train hard and, you know, make sure that you have that gas tank to last you the seven rounds. And it seemed like you were doing that for the last fight in the sense of preparing to go the distance. But at the same time, it's like you're thinking the fight will very much end within the distance. Is that the same kind of mindset and general preparation for this one, like readying the cardio for seven rounds if need be, but predicting that it does in fact end inside the distance?
Yes, sir, definitely. I like to personally, you know, I don't like to give away my game plan, but great fighters, it doesn't matter. We adjust. I pretty much like to break people down. I don't believe in, especially with bare knuckle, a lot of these guys like to rush in when need to be, but for the most part, I like wearing guys down. I mean, that's what I was taught in my style. That's what I like to do. I try to preserve my hand, take the right shots. And, you know, where if you do your due diligence, the plan is going to work and the guy's going to fall sometimes. It's exactly what you said, though, because there's times, like when I fought Cornelius, I threw a jab, and the jab alone was good enough to start putting him down in the first. So, but that goes, touches all back to it being with no gloves, just a well-placed punch in the right area, especially like an old boxing saying, the punch you don't see coming is the one that does the most damage. You know, bare knuckle does that. So, I believe firmly, you just do your work, try to have the clean shots in there, invest in the body, you know, the guy's going to fall. I mean, there's no way he can't fall unless he's a very, very tough individual.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it was kind of interesting earlier because you were like making an inference to possibly seeking out championships and other divisions. Like, what divisions are we specifically looking at? Are you thinking of maybe like moving up in weight and pursuing some hardware, or maybe like navigating a drop down for some championship accolades there?
I definitely want to possibly, I'd like to move down. It all depends on what opportunities open themselves up, because sometimes, you know, plans change. I'd also like to, you know, if I have a belt, I'm going to hold on to it, and I want to beat the best, beat the best. When Ali fought everybody. Tyson fought the guys he was supposed to fight, whether he was prepared and ready to go or not in there. You know, Frazier fought the best. All these classic guys that I remember studying and growing up and watching. You know, these sports have gotten so washed up, so to speak, like the combat sports especially, that I firmly believe in, if I'm going to go up, I'm going to go down, and I'll defend the belt, all the belts simultaneously if I could. You know, it's part of being the best.
Yeah, you seem very mindful of, like, the legacy kind of component, and with, like, the, you know, rich history that underpins bare knuckle and this, you know, sort of modern resurgence, at least domestically, in the last, like, 5+ years now. Like, how does it feel to kind of be a part of this, like, making history with a rising company like BYB Extreme? Like, even since the last time you got out there and fought, I feel like the profile of the company has gotten, you know, just that much bigger. So can you speak to just what it's like to be part of all of that there? It would seem like an important thing for you.
It means all the world to me. This is being a part of history in this company, and just like this company's done so much for me, I want to do so much and be part of it. It's something that, you know, it's not like just a regular job that you have. It's something to be proud of, very proud of, because it takes a very unique individual to get in there and do what, you know, with gloves, let alone without gloves. It takes a very special person to get out there and want to do this kind of stuff. It's a special love. And given that this has been here, started, this company started in the backyard here, it's just such an amazing thing to be part of. And it's like something that I can leave behind for, you know, when I do have kids or my family or when my name is talked about. Just the things that I've done, it's been amazing to be part of it. And the company has grown so much, you know, going overseas. I can't wait till I can do my diligence overseas and represent us and the United States as well, and just watching everything grow literally in front of my eyes. It seems like every card has it improved in some way. I see something going on better. It's amazing. I mean, I'm fortunate. I feel like honored and blessed to be part of it.
Yeah, based on what you're saying, it sounds like you checked out that, you know, crossover event with BKB. That's something you'd like to be part of someday, like maybe fight one of the guys from BKB?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely on the list of things for me to do. I mean, starting off just so locally here and to be able to go overseas, like I had started training for these kind of moments in backyards, and then just going from backyards and having, you know, trying to make a triangle with posts on the ground, wooden posts, 2x4s, trying to find long enough ones to kind of imitate it. To then go overseas to something like that it's something magnificent. I feel like it's something, not that I'm the bragging type, but that's something worth bragging about, worth talking about.
Well, it seems like the company's very much been making efforts to, like, expand globally. Like, they had a show in Dubai, and they've been doing more UK shows. So it seems like if you're looking to, you know, get some more stamps on the passport, that things are trending in a good direction with BYB in that regard, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's cool. A great part of the job, no doubt. And, yeah, no, it's been great getting to have you on the show. Definitely appreciate that, man. But I guess one of the last things I wanted to touch on, I'm kind of curious who you've been getting in work with, because I saw about a year or so ago you were working with guys like Yuli Diaz and Jake Bostwick, and it seems like Muhammad Ali Boxing Center is like the main space, and Coach David Pena is still a key figure from what I can tell. Like, what's the layout as far as, you know, coach and where you're training and some of the main training partners for this one?
Yeah, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. Tropical Park, Muhammad Ali Boxing Gym. You know, that's where everything started for me. That was my ground zero, I want to say. David Pena's been not only like a father figure to me, or like, you know, like an uncle, somebody that I've always looked up to and given me the best advice, but he's also a great coach that I have in my corner. Pedro Diaz and Mundo Boxing are owners of that facility, which they always have a great stable of fighters. The one who really gives me a lot of technical work is also Tito. Definitely can't leave him out. Tito used to be under Jorge Rubio, which I also worked with for my debut, which is a Hall of Fame boxing coach. Now Tito's kind of branched off on his own, so I'm actually sitting outside of Box R right now to get some work in with him. So he's a major aspect of the sport. He's Dave himself. My strength and conditioning coach, Kevin Van Ostrand, he's part of Homestead Physical Therapy. He's also used to fight amateurs with me, a good training buddy of mine, which is on the conditioning and rehab side for me. All these guys, they all have their purpose, and they've all really started to grasp their head around the difference in bare knuckle and the clinching, and we're all working together to get me to be as a finely tuned machine as possible. So not just David Pena, but Tito's and Kevin are also big, huge pieces. Like I couldn't have. At the end of the day, I'm in there alone. But without these guys helping me on the everydays, ins and outs, making sure I'm keeping my shoulders healthy, even through the downtimes, you know, with the surgery and just mentally, emotionally, and literally physically, being there for me, because it's a lot of ups and downs. You know, at one point I didn't really think my arm was going to move again, because it was my first surgery, so I didn't know what to expect. So I can have nothing but gratitude for all these gentlemen, because without them, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you have a great group around you, and just great that you're able to, you know, get that full body autonomy back. Yeah, I think sometimes people just kind of almost take for granted, like, that, you know, combat sports athletes get these different surgeries and stuff like that. But, I mean, you know, we're human at the end of the day, so maybe there's a certain level of uncertainty, as you alluded to, like, not knowing if you'd even be able to, you know, use the arm. So I would think that that would give you, like, a new, you know, lease on life, or at least a new appreciation for the arm kind of being back, just in terms of, like, basic lifestyle consideration.
Oh, yeah. It's a real interesting thing, those surgeries, because, again, there's going through the different phases, and the body is such a very special piece of machinery that it's so incredible, and the technology that they have today, the way that the doctor did an arthroscopic surgery, so I don't really, I have minimal scarring. He went in with cameras and kind of like, almost like needles. And he took pictures of everything, and I got to see the extent of the damage. It's a very interesting thing how that works. So, yeah, unique experience.
Yeah, for sure. Glad you came out of it, for sure. And you were able to get back to, you know, doing what you love and what the BYB fans love watching you do. But you've been great with your time, man. I want to be mindful of your time and schedule, though, like I was kind of saying before. So to that point, is there maybe any final parting thought you'd want to add as we're wrapping up here, man?
No, I just thank you for having me on the show. I look forward to all the support. Thank you also for, you know, taking out the time. We're all busy people, especially in 2023. So anybody listening, I just want to give everyone a big thank you from the bottom of my heart. The support I receive and the love I get, and just being able to be part of this is so awesome and such a special feeling. So I appreciate everything, and I try to make the best of every moment and enjoy it. So I really do appreciate everyone and you as well for taking the time out. So thank you.
Oh, I mean, a mutual appreciation for sure. Great getting to have you on and finally talk to you about what you've been doing in BYB Extreme, and just a great thought in general to kind of end things off on. Definitely very much excited for BYB 19 and this title unification against Sam Liera on August 10th. So thanks for coming on and giving such great insights ahead of a great fight. You enjoy the rest of your day there, Jose, and thank you for the time.
Thank you. You as well. You have a wonderful evening. Take care.